Let's Talk is brought to you by the StarQuest Production Network and is made possible by our many generous patrons. If you'd like to support the podcast, please visit sqpn.com/give. You're listening to Let's Talk, the SQPN community podcast. I'm Dom Bettinelli, and today I'm joined by Andrew Hermes. Hi, Andrew.
Good morning, Dom.
And Thomas Sanherho. Hi, Thomas.
Hi, Dom. How's it going?
Very well. As a reminder, this is a special short-form podcast we're doing on a short-term basis that will go on as long as we're all locked down and stuck in our homes. And our goal here is to provide a little light, a little levity, and some ideas for how to spend your time while we're all doing this. And most of all, we want to stay connected to you all, our community, our audience, our listeners. And hopefully you all can join in with us. And we'd love to get your comments live in the chat room if you are watching there. And otherwise, even after the fact. And I'll give you some contact information on that at the end. You can catch us live on Facebook Live each weekday at 10:30 Eastern, 7:30 Pacific. That's mornings, if you're listening to this later. And then we'll post it in the Let's Talk podcast audio feed and the SQPN YouTube channel as a video. So, guys, today's an important day. It's a big day in the Catholic circles, but also in a literary Catholic circle.
I was going to say, they kind of overlap with that one, right?
They do. Today is March 25th. It's the Feast of the Annunciation, or as I like to call it, the Feast of the Incarnation, because... This is the day when Jesus took on human flesh in his mother's womb. So it's kind of weird to celebrate it this year under these circumstances. But, you know, it's a nice time to kind of celebrate something positive and happy in the midst of the great Lent.
Right.
So how do you guys celebrate the feast days during Lent with your family in any particular way? How about you, Thomas?
We typically try and have some kind of fancy meal. So it's, because you're doing all of the Lenten observations and things like that. So we try and have a little bit more fancy meal than we would normally have, especially if it falls on a weekday like this where it's not really a Sunday. So there's, you know, we try and do nice meals every Sunday too, just to celebrate the feast of every Sunday during Lent as well.
That's a good idea. How about you, Andrew? Anything special?
If it's during Lent, during the week, like Thomas mentioned, usually we'll break some sort of fast that we're doing if it has to do with food and, mm-hmm. Have something special. And I think now that we have a daughter, she's 1.5, so she still doesn't really wouldn't understand, anything, but we are trying to, pray more with her as a family, as she's, day in day, understanding more of what it means to be a child of God.
You know, it's so great because when they're this young and you start them this young, the traditions that it just becomes part of their life as they mm-hmm. grow older. And it's one of the things I'm very glad we were able to do with our kids is to start these traditions right from the beginning. Andrew, so you're Chaldean Catholic. Do you guys do the Lenten fast differently? Like, I know some Eastern Rite Catholics do a more rigorous fast than us Latins do. What's different for Chaldeans?
It is a little different in the Chaldean Rite. It's not quite as rigorous or intense as, let's say, the Byzantine Rite. I mean, we don't really have any of the rules of like one small meal or anything like that. Our rules are basically, for special days like the first day of Lent. We don't have Ash Wednesday. We just start on that Monday before on for Holy Thursday. Any sort of special day like that, our great fast would be fasting until noon. So eating nothing until noon and then abstaining from meat and dairy.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. And then on normal days of fasting, like on Fridays and whatnot, we just abstain from meat.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. It's interesting to see the different fasting rules that are in place in different traditions. It's kind of neat. So I also mentioned that today is also a Catholic literary day. It's Tolkien Day. Thomas, so you're a Lord of the Rings fan, right?
I am a Lord of the Rings fan, yeah.
So you know what I today is, so. Right?
Oh, yes.
It's the anniversary of, on March 25th in the Lord of the Rings, it's, you know, the day that Frodo destroyed the ring. Well, no spoilers, by the way, right. In case you haven't read an 80-year-old book. But it's the day that the ring of power was destroyed in Mount Doom. And it's kind of interesting. I read that Tolkien picked today specifically that he wrote about that. Have you ever heard of that?
Yes. Yeah. He picked today because it was the day that the day of the incarnation was the opposite of the day of the destruction of evil in the sense of the incarnation of evil into the ring.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Yeah. Yeah, so cool.
Nice.
He imbued his Catholic faith in his work in such subtle ways, and I just love that. There's other dates in the Lord of the Rings because he tracked it out. He didn't leave anything to chance. He knew the timeline and other days that were significant events occurring on significant days in the calendar. So that's kind of cool.
And I find it so funny too, because he always had those discussions with C.S. Lewis about the story being more important than the allegory. But he was so many levels deep on his story that right. he had the allegory all set up with all of the dates and everything that happened and
right.
the consecutive nature of everything.
I think what he didn't like was the shallow allegory, you know, like
yes.
you know, like oh that. Clearly, Saruman is Hitler. You're like, no,
right?
It's not that shallow. I mean, it's evil, but it's not that shallow.
Right.
So, very cool. So, I did want to mention, actually, with Thomas on the show, that I wanted to mention that he and I are also on another podcast called The Secrets of Technology, and I want to encourage everyone to check it out. It's sqpn.com/technology. It comes out once a week, and usually on Thursdays, and it's a combination a bit of like practical advice regarding our individual use of technology, as well as some discussions of the bigger issues that we should be aware of with technology. So Thomas is going to be on with me on the, this week with along with Jack Barazzini, and we're going to be talking about some stuff. I've changed. I don't know if you noticed that, Thomas, I changed up the outline.
Yeah. Because, I like it. I think it's good because, you know, talking about some of the things that are going on right now, but in a foibly kind of sense, I really like that take on it.
Yeah, it's going to be a little lighter. I'll give folks a little preview, a little hint. It's going to include information about using Zoom appropriately when you're working remotely and inappropriately. So that'll be fun. So one of the things I've been doing, guys, is I've been... every day I have a lot of like fun, cool t-shirts. And so every day I've been doing Dom's t-shirt of the day. So I wanted to share today's shirt is, going to be in the shot. It looks stained in the light.
It's but, aliens.
Yes. It's, so for those who aren't watching, it's a Weyland Yutani Corp building a better world. It's a corporate logo for the company in the movie franchise Aliens. The one that is a horrible evil corporation.
they're not that bad.
They're not
really,
that
right?
bad. They just, you know, had people impregnated by aliens involuntarily. So yeah.
All in the name of science.
Right? All yes. anything for science.
Those xenomorphs look friendly.
Yes. Yes. So they just want to get close and snuggle up with you. Give you big face hugs. So let's move on. We talk a little bit about some ideas we have for ways to spend our time. That if we have, I don't know about you guys, but I don't have that much extra time. But I still, you know, want to share with folks some good ideas for spending some time. And Andrew, let you go first. And what do you have for a recommendation for things people can watch, do, or whatever at this time?
Yeah, my recommendation for today is a movie called The Social Network, a movie that came out in 2010. It's a film I consider, you know, the most important film of the last decade, I think. Because, you know, it's a movie about, you know, Mark Zuckerberg and how Facebook you know, came to be. And it's based off of a book called Accidental Billionaires by Ben Mezrich. It's a script written by Aaron Sorkin. It's directed by David Fincher. So you have, you know, two of the most well-known, most well-respected filmmakers, you know, behind the camera. And you have a young Jesse Eisenberg, who was relatively mm-hmm. unknown back then. This was kind of his breakthrough role. You had Andrew Garfield, who was also unknown. Oh, right. This was before, yeah. you know, Spider-Man and all that sort of stuff. And yeah, it's, you know, the movie, what makes this movie important, at least in my opinion, is every time I watch it, it takes on a new meaning, because as social media kind of evolves in society, you know, in a lot of, you know, eerie ways, you know, the movie kind of predicts, you know, the outcomes that we're seeing as not only Facebook has grown larger, but, you know, you see all these other platforms taking over and, you know, kind of being a normal part of society. And the more and more we're glued to our screens, especially during this time that we're in. You know, it's, I think it's the film, not only is it just an amazing film, I mean, it's just a masterclass in filmmaking. I mean, yeah, David Fincher is infamous for doing up to 100 takes for a certain scene. So he's very meticulous. And Aaron Sorkin, you know, if anyone's familiar with his work, you know, like yeah. The West Wing, you know, or gosh, what's the movie he won the Oscar for? I'm forgetting. Or yeah. I think it might have been Moneyball, but okay. I could be wrong. But anyway, he's known for, you know, writing dialogue at a million words per minute. So right. you're watching a lot of actors kind of flex their you know, dialogue muscles, and it's really a great movie and one of the best soundtracks too. I think for any film. Yeah. Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross. It's a good sound. It's the soundtrack I go to if I ever need to focus or work, do any sort of work. I highly recommend that. Yeah. But again, yeah, at the time, you know, the book was controversial because there were a lot of books being written about Mark Zuckerberg, because this is the time when Facebook kind of was taking over the world. And Mark had a lot of issues with the book. But, you know, Aaron Sorkin chose the book because, according to him, he did his research and he knew the right people, and he felt that this was, you know, obviously with dramatizations, you know, yep. this was the closest story. So basically you have, you know, Facebook, you know, the inspiration for Facebook was, you know, Mark Zuckerberg getting dumped by a girl. And
if you want to understand Facebook, look at its roots.
It's a rebound story.
It's exactly. Yes.
Yeah. And ultimately, you know, it's Mark Zuckerberg trying to feel, you know, more socially accepted, and mm-hmm. and not to spoil the movie too much, but by the end of the movie, he still feels alone. And then again, you look at, you know, some of the statistics today from like the, you know, AP, the American Psychology Association, you know, people feel lonelier than ever. Mm-hmm. And social media doesn't help with that. So I think it's a good movie to kind of, to watch cinematically and as a commentary on today's society.
As we are more isolated now and as we're reaching out to others on social media, it's probably good to remind ourselves of this network we're all using. That's a good one. I'll have to rewatch that because it's been a while. Yeah. Thomas, what do you get to mention this today as a recommendation?
All right. So today I'm mentioning bullet journaling. And if anybody has been listening to just about anything online right now, that's a big topic of conversation. And I think it's one that can be really intimidating because a lot of people are doing it, and they're doing it with the most fantastical possible combination of things. So they have all this washi tape and all these colored pens, and they spend hours and hours and hours decorating different things. And I just want to tell everybody that's not what bullet journaling is. and it is if that's what you want it to be. And that's the great thing about bullet journaling is that it's free form and it's not dependent on someone else's way of doing things. And I have to say that I started it personally by watching the person who created the system, Ryder Carroll, his amazing kind of introduction to bullet journaling. It's like 5 minutes long. It's on the bullet journaling website. He's got a great book out now about it. And basically for him, it was just a way to stay organized. And if you're like me, buying a calendar that someone has made is the most horrible thing you can do, because you watch things go blank and then you get demoralized. So you'll fill in stuff for like a week and then you'll skip a week. And then you get demoralized because there's a blank week and you don't want to go back and do it anymore because now there's empty spaces. And so if you're like me, that's the situation you're in, and you're going to go, okay, how can I fix that? Well, a bullet journal fixes that, because a bullet journal is blank to start off with, and you create the space that you want. And so if you miss a week, it doesn't appear. It's just a week that you missed. And so you just pick back up from where you start over again.
Yeah.
And it's great because you don't feel like you're missing out on anything. Everything's nice and organized. And as you go along further and further, you'll develop your own style to it. So I had someone comment on it the other day when I pulled it out in a meeting. I do little doodles in the corner when I first start, because I have to write the page numbers. Well, I write the page number, then I do a little box around it and a little Art Deco style kind of banner. It takes me 2 seconds to do. And they're like, oh, wow, that's really fancy. Sitting beside me. I'm like, I didn't really think it was that fancy, but okay. and so you can see how people can get into the space where they, you know, start doing the watercolors for the covers of the months and all of this kind of stuff. And if that's your thing, that's awesome. Go for it. But there's so many places online to look for tips and tricks and ways to kind of improve your use of the bullet journal. And it's a space that you get to make entirely your own. And so if you want it to be all about anime this month, you can. And then next month it could be about Renaissance artists. And then the next month it could be about Catholic saints. And it doesn't matter. The theming doesn't matter. It's up to you.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because I see a lot of people that I use Day One a lot, which is an app, journaling app. But there's something about the act of writing, not typing, but writing, that feels a little more, I don't know, intentional. So that when I take notes now, I use, even though it's still digital, I use my iPad with pencil, the Apple Pencil, but I write.
That's what I use.
I use an app called
GoodNotes.
That's
exactly what I do. Yeah.
It's just, I think the writing helps me remember, even if it's, I don't like the paper. For one thing, I'm a lefty, which is the whole lefty problem of the ink.
Right.
Over your hand.
You have to do the Da Vinci thing, like right backwards. You know, he held a mirror and wrote all this stuff backwards.
And twist my arm around. Yeah. but that's a great one. I like that. I used to use a day planner back in the day. And you're right, it was so demoralizing. Like, you pay a lot of money for it, you know, the refills and all that stuff like that. And then you're like, well, that's all wasted paper. I missed a week. So that is good. I think keeping a bullet journal. Just something a little, we talked about this yesterday with Joanne Mercier, just this historian, just encourage people to keep a diary or journal at this time, you know, have something even to share with your kids, your grandkids someday. This was the big plague of 2020 or whatever, you know, it's a great idea. So my recommendation is, I want everyone to go find Yo-Yo Ma on Facebook. Yo-Yo Ma, it's not a yo-yo toy thing. In case you don't know, Yo-Yo Ma is a world famous cellist, an amazing musician. Go find his Facebook page and follow him, because every day he's been posting little mini concerts. He plays one piece of music, and it's beautiful. It's a bit of beauty in the world that he's sharing with the world today, when we can't, you know, when we need it especially. So go check it out. It's beautiful, and there's so many artists and others doing things like this for everyone else. It is a highlight of the best of humanity, what we're seeing, and this is one of those things. Go check it out. All right, so I think that's with plenty. We can end things now. We'd like to take a moment before we end to thank our patrons who make it possible for us to create Let's Talk. Their generous donations at sqpn.com/give make it possible for us to continue Let's Talk and all the stuff we do at StarQuest. And our mission here is to stay touch with you, in touch with you, and keep everyone in touch with each other, and spread a little light, joy, the Holy Spirit in the world, and that's what we're all about. So you can help us do that if you go to sqpn.com/give. So we'd love to hear from you. If you want to contact us, you can do so by going to sqpn.com or our StarQuest Facebook page, if you're not there already, facebook.com/StarQuestMedia. You can send an email to letstalk@sqpn.com. And I'll put links to the different things we talked about here at sqpn.com/letstalk. Until next time, Thomas Sanderho, thank you for joining me on Let's Talk.
It was a pleasure.
Andrew Hermes, thank you as well.
Thanks for having me.
And once again, I'm Dom Bettinelli. Thank you for listening to Let's Talk on StarQuest.